Today I'll be reading Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it.
Preach the word, Dan.
I think Kira is going to be a preacher one day.
Amen.
He got a good read on the Lord's word there. Appreciate that. We started off this series, and I kind of had in mind that we would mainly be talking about husbands and wives and how they are designed to work together in the Lord, and we didn't get very far into it, and I realized that this wasn't just that study, but this also encompassed the study of the family. So today we're going to be talking about parenting in the Lord. Now let me tell you this, with just a little bit of reflection, I quickly understood that I have not been all that I want to be as a parent. I have failed so many times, and I've done some good things too, but I just come up short time and time again of where I want to be as a parent. And I'm sure some of you can identify with that as well. So we are going to begin our study today. I'm going to show you some reasons why we're having this study. Sandy, if you'd start those, please. It moved and yielded to my will. 7 days were past, the bit of clay was hard at last. The form I gave it, it still bore, but I could change it no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and gentle heart. I came again when years were gone. It was a man that I looked upon. He still that early impress wore, and I could change him nevermore. We have a great and tremendous responsibility to raise our children in the Lord. And here's a waker up. Don't you love using English improperly? It's a great tool. Here's a great waker upper for you, church. My children are also your children. We not only have a responsibility to our own physical families, church, but we have a responsibility to our church family as well. All of these reasons that we showed you up here on the board, all of them belong to some of us personally and collectively to all of us as a community. We have a great responsibility to take care of these children that God has given us. I want to begin our study today asking you to turn to Psalms 127, verse 3. Psalms 127 and verse 3. And I can't hear real well. If this microphone is cutting on and off, which I don't think it is, somebody just kind of popped their hand up and let me know and I'll turn it off. But it seems to be working. Is it working okay? This gives me freedom to wonder a little bit if I need to. Psalms 127, verse 3. Let's read that. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. What do you think about when you think about a gift? Why do we give gifts to people? We give gifts probably mainly for a couple of reasons. We want to bring joy in their lives. And sometimes we want to help someone in need. So we give gifts for that reason. And here, we are told that God has given these gifts to us. Which means, A, that they belong to Him. And that He gave them to us. God considered us. You know, sometimes as the days go on and the months and the different things that happen in your life, sometimes you might stop and think, well, I wonder how much He's really in tune specifically with what's going on in my life. Maybe just He checks in on me once in a while. Have you ever had bogus thoughts like that? Well, you know what? God knows everything about you, folks. God sees you every minute of every day. God knows you specifically. These children that are sitting here today, man, we're blessed with so many of them. And I want to tell you, if you've ever been to a church that didn't have children, it's a ending proposition. Everybody grows old, everybody dies, and the church isn't there anymore. We have all these blessings that are surrounding us, and they are a result of God knowing that you needed them, and you know what, church? We, as a church, need these children. Amen? God sent us a gift that no one else could send. He gave us what no one else could give. He purposed these children and He gave them to us. The word gift in this Hebrew text also includes the idea of an inheritance. God is handing the children down to us. You know what? I want to tell you, that comes with great responsibility. And sometimes, I just want to confess it straight up to you, sometimes I've not done a good job. Sometimes, as the husband in the family, I'm going out here, I'm working all day long, I get tired, I get exhausted, I come home, and I somehow feel like I've done my duty, and kids, go play Nintendo and leave me alone. You ever done that? God wants us to stop and think about that. Because our children are an inheritance. He handed them down to us to take care of. The text here takes another step, though. The text says that they are a reward. Now, when you look at your children, and you understand that God gave them to you as a reward. In other words, you know, rewards are not just given to anybody. You know, if we hand out a reward, not everybody gets a reward. They're specific in nature. God rewarded each of you that has children. God gave you a reward. Now, children may not always feel like a reward. I understand that. But you got to get out of the human thinking and think godly. Do you view your children as a reward? You look at them differently when you see them that way. I think about the fact that, you know, even in this congregation at different times, through the years here, I've seen women want babies so badly. You remember what I'm talking about? Started off 10 years ago with Casey Isley. I thought she was going to drive us all bananas. She wanted a kid, that's all that she could talk about. And then along comes Tahira, same thing. She wants. But you know what? Well, as I look back through scriptures, God either gives a child or doesn't give a child. Sometimes he withholds that for a time. Sometimes he doesn't ever allow it at all. But you know, it is God that opens the womb. That's what Jacob tells Rachel, who's whining to him because God hadn't given her a child. He says, look, it's God. Am I in the place of God? It's Him that opens the womb. So when you look at these children, I'm... This is getting crazy, isn't it? Can you hear it? Is it okay?
Okay, we're getting it all.
Okay, I don't need that way. These children are given to us as a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And it is God who allows it to happen. You might think sometimes that having a child is just the result of a natural function. You can come listen to Travis's class on the Song of Solomon and figure out all the details if you want. But let me tell you what, it's not just a physical thing. God says yes or no. Each one of you today here, whether you're an old child or a young child, you exist because God said yes. What do you think about that? I like that. It wouldn't matter if I liked it or not, it's still true, right? Second thing is, now this is going to seem silly, so I'm giving you fair warning, okay? Children need a mother and a father. Now that seems to go without saying, but church, it doesn't, okay? Children need a mother and a father. All children that have ever lived on the face of this earth, they've got one thing in common. They started out with a mom and dad. Now, their mom and dad may have never been married. I understand all that. But it takes a mom and a dad to have a kid, right? Wonder who designed it that way. God made it that way. God designed children to have a mom and a dad. That's the way He designed it. Now that means this. A father brings some things to the children that the mother cannot bring. And the mother brings some things to these children that the father can't bring. It's a package deal, church. That's how God made it. You talk to any single parent, and we may have some sitting here this morning, and they'll tell you that raising a child as a single parent, it's a hard thing. And they can tell that there's some things that are missing. You can talk to the children themselves of single parent families, and they'll tell you something's missing. Children need a mother and a father. Now, I want all you young teenagers to listen up to me for a minute, because I got something I want to talk to you about. Children need a mother and father, and nobody knows that better than you teenagers. You understand that that's the way God designed it. But teenagers come around to a certain point, and they get a whole lot of peer pressure at school, and it seems like these days that experiencing sex is not something that's even under discussion anymore. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. That's kind of the talk of teenagers these days. Maybe not ours, hopefully not ours, collectively as a church. But you go down here, and the school is passing out prophylactics and stuff like that. That's just nuts. They're encouraging sexual relationships outside of marriage. Now listen to me, teenagers. God says that's wrong. He says it's fornication, and he says that's wrong. 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 13 says, the body is not for immorality. The word immorality is the word fornication, sexual relationships outside of marriage, but the body is for the Lord. Now that's what you need to hear from us. Teenagers, if you consider yielding to this peer pressure, or yielding to your personal desires to have sexual relationships outside of marriage, the possibility, the potential, the reality exists for you to have a child outside of wedlock. And guess what? Now you've got a child running around the face of this earth, and most of the times that child is not going to end up in a home with a father and mother. You know, that's what happens when kids get together and have babies. They give them up for adoption. They abort them. Hey, we'll talk about abortion later, okay? That's just wrong. You teenagers, you need to think about doing what God says. Keeping your... Hey, and you know what? I'll just take this minute. As a servant of the living God, I charge you teenagers with God's word to keep yourselves pure. Because that's what God wants. God does not want a bunch of children running around the face of the earth without mothers and fathers to teach them and give them direction. We need to be a people that's not apologetic for saying so through God's word. Can we take a break? Which leads me to another thought within the same thinking. We live in a world today where divorce is becoming more the norm than any. It's just sickening. Parents, I want to talk to you for just a minute. You've got a divine obligation from God to create healthy marriages, because you set examples for your children. You have a responsibility to work out your problem. You know, this whole world is
in this mode where, hey, if it's not working out, ditch it. We live in a disposable marriage society, but I'm like, well, I failure and never get another one. God says, I don't think so. You work out your problems. Why? Those kids need a mom and a dad. Parents, we got an obligation not just to stick together because we have to. We got an obligation to love each other faithfully. To love each other with the love of the Lord, because these young children are students. I'm getting kind of loud, aren't I? Okay. These young kids are students. They're learning in the class of youth. You're instructed. What are you going to teach them? They're learning by our examples. Oh, what would happen if we decided to love our spouses with the love of God, and then our students, our little students, watch that relationship and they learn from that? Then they grow up. Then they share that with their wives and their wives.
number three. Man, I could really get moving here. Then one of the most important things in regard to our children, maybe one of the first things that we want to talk about is praying for our children. Man, church, when I consider the fact that I've come up so short on so many occasions with my children, I'm reminded of the fact that prayer is so vital and so important. You know, just a quick preview, prayer is going before God's actual throne of grace. Prayer is going into the very presence of God, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Church, prayer is important. There's this word that they use in regard to prayer. If you're ever reading religious literature, they call it efficacy. I don't like big words. It's talking about effectiveness. How effective is prayer? You know what? Sometimes people that don't pray a whole lot, they don't understand the power in prayer. What do you think that the church thought about prayer when old Peter and John were arrested, taken in before the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4 is telling them, don't you preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And they said, hey, folks, we're going to obey God and not you. The church is over here praying. And you remember what happened when the church was praying? The place where they were praying started shaking. What do you think they thought about the power of prayer? Do you think that there's power in prayer in regard to praying for your children? James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I buy into that, don't you? God said it and I believe it. God said it, that settles it, and I believe it. How's that? We find godly people throughout Scripture praying for their children. One of my favorites is Hannah. She prayed for Samuel even before Samuel was born. You talk about a faithful lady. That was pretty encouraging to me. You see Abraham praying for Ishmael, David praying for his children. And you know, with that in mind, I would like for us to pause right now and take some time to pray for our children. Now, before we do, I want to tell you this. I thought to myself, well, you know, if I go to God, what should I say? Well, so I got out a piece of paper and a pencil and said, well, you know, I should pray for their health. I should, you know, start doing this. Then I thought, hey, here's a novel idea. Why don't I go read God's Word and see if there's any instruction in there about what we ought to pray for, okay? So, I'm going to lead us in prayer using God's words, okay? If you want to listen to the Scriptures, you can just see me afterward. Maybe you can think of some things to add to that prayer when you pray for your children, okay? So, I would ask us now to go to God in prayer. Lord God of heaven, we know you're among us today. And Father, we come to you in this hour of worship, and we lift your name high and hold up all that you are in our hearts. Father, we bring our children, all of our children, all of the children of this church, including our own, Father, we bring before you with a list of requests. We ask you, Lord, to watch over our children, to keep them from harm. Watch over their lives. Watch over their coming and their goings, both now and forevermore. Lord, please fulfill your purpose for our children. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Please do not abandon the work of your hands. Where can our children go from your Spirit? Where can they flee from your presence? If they go up to heaven, you are there. Father, if they make their beds in the depths, you are there also. If they rise on the wings of dawn, if they settle on the far side of the sea, even there, Father, may your hand guide them. Please let your hand hold them fast. Father, may they fear you and hate what is evil. May they hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Father, help these children to be your people, and we ask you to be their God. Give them one heart and one way, that they may fear you always for their own good and for their children after them. Father, please give them a united heart and protect their hearts from becoming hardened like stones. Help them, O Lord, to follow your decrees and to keep your law. Lord, watch over them as a shepherd. Search for them when they wander off. Correct them with your rod, and rescue them when they find themselves in days of clouds and darkness. Father, be gracious to them, compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. May the love that they have in their hearts be directed to you. May they love you with all of their hearts, with all of their souls, and with all of their minds. May you direct them, Father, in truth and make them free. Father, we ask that you open their eyes so that they may turn away from darkness and into the light in order to receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those sanctified in the faith. And Father, help them not to be ashamed of your gospel, but to recognize that it is your power for salvation. Father, please create a desire in them to come out from among the men of this world and be sanctified. Father, we ask that you give them a spirit of wisdom and guide them in your truth, that they may submit themselves to you and resist the devil. And Father, as parents, we ask that you guide our steps in raising our children. Help us to lead them in your ways. And dear God, convict our hearts when we fail. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I pray, I find myself just really not knowing what to say sometimes. Prayer is never meant to be something that we just rush into God's presence and pour out the contemplations of our minds. God wants us to talk in His ways. And those scriptures kind of reminded me of some of my fundamental responsibilities as a parent. James chapter 4 and verse 2 says that we have not because we ask not. Will you ask God on behalf of your children? Or will you just get so busy with life that you don't make time for the power of God in prayer?
It's about time, so I'm going to stop there. We're going to pick this up next Sunday. Now, we're going to have an invitation song today, and I want to give you an opportunity to join me. My thoughts about my parenting is this:
that there's a lot of
room for improvement. I do some things good, but I need to do some things better. And just the beginning study here has prompted my heart to say, look, I want to apply myself. I really want to have my kids before God's throne of grace. I want to do better as a parent.
Give you the opportunity, if you need to join me in that this morning, I ask that you come
when we stand and sing. If you need to be baptized and put on the Lord in baptism to be united with Him, it's a good day for you. Maybe something's bothering you this morning outside of anything we talked about. You need to share that with our family here.
Our spiritual family. I ask that God lay it upon your heart to do what you need. As we...